Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey, at Consultant Connect, we really want to spend time and recognize greatness within the economic development industry. So if you know somebody that you think would be a great candidate as one of our top 50 economic developers, please go to our website and nominate that person. Or if you want to brag about yourself, feel free to nominate yourself. You can visit www.consultantconnect.org/top50 and fill out the nomination form. So please go ahead and do that. We'd love to hear about some great people in your industry. Hey, Nick Riashi from Consultant Connect here. We're really excited to have you today. We have Tim Cowden, who is the president and CEO at Kansas City Area Development. And, you know, Tim is doing some really incredible things in Kansas City, and his leadership is absolutely inspiring. He leads a really dynamic and progressive team, and I'm really excited for this interview. So please enjoy and let's listen in. Well, Tim, I know you're busy leading an incredible group down in Kansas City, so let's dive right in. What is the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
Nick, I'd say that it's about relevance. I mean, leaders have to stay relevant with their audiences or those that they are attempting to lead or those that look to them to lead. You've got to keep your message fresh. You've got to maintain relevance with your knowledge, with your own energy, with your own belief. Because unless you believe in yourself and you lead yourself, there's no way that you can lead anyone else or inspire a confidence among others in you unless you have that confidence in yourself. So that's one thing I've always tried to remember because one of my mentors told me that a long, long time ago. If you ever intend to lead in your career, you first have to learn how to lead yourself and doing the right thing, staying relevant, staying fresh, making sure that you're constantly learning and curious and you're asking questions. And the approach that we've taken here, I believe, and what I've tried to apply during my career is the whole concept of servant leadership. Because in economic development, it's not about I. It's not about pointing your thumbs back at your chest and saying it's not about what I did or what we did as just an organization. It's about what we did as a region with all of our partners. So we really take that to heart, the whole concept of servant leadership, because we know in this region or any region that we lead because those that have put that faith in us believe in us and they trust us, and because we're great listeners and we've developed a significant amount of goodwill and equity in relationships across a whole range of personalities and organizations over a long period of time. So I think those are the best leaders, and the best organizations that lead are those that really place a great deal of importance and value in that concept of servant leadership.
It's amazing, you know, how others follow when they see that point leader rolling up the sleeves, and that no job is too small for that leader. It inspires the rest of the team to do great things. So I think you hit the nail on the head there. On the flip side, though, you know, what is one sort of, you know, behavior or trait that you see cause the demise of a leader or derail a leader in their career? And how do you guard against that happening?
You know, Nick, that's a great question. I think it's always about being selfish, or when that leader begins to think that it's about him or her and not about everybody else that helped them get to where they are. The moment a leader starts to really believe maybe the press clippings, or maybe start listening too much to things that are said to you about, well, you know, you all are doing a great job, or you're doing a great job. If you take too much of that to your head and you really don't filter it and remember that you're only there because of the humility and the work that you did to get to that level. If you become selfish, and if it becomes about yourself or that me concept, then that's when you've jumped the shark. And at that point, I believe you're toast. So right or wrong, what I've always tried to do in my career is remember that it's not about me. I'm only as good as my team around me. I'm only as good as the communities that believe in this organization and this region. And the moment it becomes something different or more about me, then I know that my time will be short. And I've seen it in other areas, other individuals, other industries. And that always happens, man.
No, I completely understand. I know Kansas City Area Development is a really progressive type group. And I know that we've seen the industry kind of shift and, you know, more younger leaders are getting into the economic development profession. What's one piece of advice you would give someone either coming into the profession or maybe even what's a piece of advice you'd given yourself if you were talking to your younger self getting ready to go into this profession?
Again, another great question, Nick. I'd say the advice I would give to anyone getting into the economic development business or really any business, and I give this advice to my children. I've got 4 kids, 2 that are recently graduated from college. And
congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I've got 2 off the payroll and 2 more still yet to go through the pipeline, but eventually we'll get there.
Awesome.
But I tell them to remember the greatest value of any leader or any sort of learning dynamic is the ability to listen. And my dad told me this a long time ago. He said, Tim, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. Use them in proportion. So being able to be an active listener and really listen to those that have been before you. I think sometimes, I'm sure my parents' generation said it about my generation when I was, you know, coming out of school, is that, you know, they want things too fast or they expect things too quickly. I would say to any young person getting into any business, but in particular economic development, is listen. Listen to those that have been there before and put yourself into a situation where those that you're listening to value you for the knowledge that you're applying. And if they've earned the right to move up rapidly, I've always looked in my organization, I really don't care how long you've been with the organization. Certainly there's great value and experience, don't get me wrong. But if a young person comes into our organization and they show those traits and they have what I like to say, and I've heard this many, many times over through the years, that it factor, you know, quotations around it, if they have it, we'll move them up quickly. And we've done that here in this organization and we value that. But someone who comes in, regardless of age, and thinks they know it all when they really haven't put in that time or really haven't committed to listening, then I don't have a lot of patience for that. And I'm a fairly patient person, I think, but I don't have a lot of patience for that. And that's what I tell young people.
Yeah, I know when I was young and just getting into, you know, the business profession, someone just said, hey, just always stay new. Never think that you know everything, because really it's the second that you stop learning is the second that you start dying. And, you know, that's one thing that I admire about, you know, your career and your reputation. What's one thing that you're doing or, you know, multiple things that you're doing that you do to ensure that you continue to learn and continue to grow and develop as a leader?
I try to read a lot, and I wish I could read more than I do, but I've adapted to technology to the best of my ability as it relates to my ability to learn. Most of what I do via communicating in the written word or certainly the spoken word, trying to process information from hour to hour, day to day, is on my phone. And I know that's not unique for a lot of people that might be listening to this, but for a guy like me, 5, 7 years ago, I didn't use my technology or the phone and tablets as much as I do today.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty good example of maintaining that relevance or freshness, because I just figured out, Nick, that I couldn't keep up with it all, particularly reading. And I try to read the Wall Street Journal every day, or at least the most popular stories on the Wall Street Journal. I try to read the Washington Post and the New York Times and the LA Times, in addition to the local papers. And that's a lot of where I get my information, is off the app from those major news outlets. I catch a lot of my news from Twitter, but I'm constantly looking at that. And there's a downside to that too, because I've been upbraided many times by my wife and my kids, like, hey, you're at home. You need to be in the moment here. You know, put down your phone because I'm reading something, you know, on Twitter. I'm reading, you know, a story in the Wall Street Journal. And they're exactly right. That's one thing that I believe that leaders have to guard against is you got to maintain not so much balance, but just I think Jeff Bezos, I read something recently and I loved what he said. It's not so much a balance, but it's about harmony. You know, you've got to maintain a work-life harmony. Because if I need to run home, and I know Ron Kitchens and the team there, we've talked about this, and I admire him, some of the principles that he's applied in that organization. You know, hey, if I need to run home or if any of my team needs to run home and take care of their kid at 2:30 in the afternoon, go home and do it. Take care of it. Make sure that you're being accountable to your partners here on the team. But you know what? If I need to reach you at 7:30 at night with an email or a text about a question that might be pressing regarding a meeting the next morning, I expect you to answer it. And that's the deal that we have here. And it seems to be working. And a work-life balance is, yeah, one thing, but I think harmony, making sure that the work life harmonizes with your personal life, because they will cross over. You just can't help it in today's world. Because I'm working at 8:30 at night, might be working at certainly at some nights at midnight, catching up on email or reading, but I might be out trying to do something with my kid at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you know, you touched on a couple of really great points there. And it almost seems like, you know, we're at a time now, especially with our smartphones, that we're out of excuses. You know, there's no reason that we can't put in a podcast or an audiobook. And there's no reason that we can't respond to a client because we have this in front of us at all times. So, no, I think you hit the nail on the head again. Kind of shifting gears real quick. You've had a really, really successful career and you have a lot of great stories about your success. What are you the most proud of in your career?
Man, that's a great question.
It's always a tough question for people. And feel free to brag. Please brag.
Yeah, we've been talking about, you know, you don't want to put the thumbs towards, you know, me, but I'm probably most proud of the fact that, and some people might call BS on this, and my friends know that it's true, but I always wanted to be involved in economic development or promoting cities or developing ever since I was a kid. I love cities. I love real estate. I love development, but I didn't know how to apply that necessarily when I was coming up through high school and even trying to determine what my college degree was going to be. But what I ended up doing was I interned in Norman, Oklahoma when I was a student at OU. And I started in Wichita Falls, Texas, way back in the mid 80s. Great community. But I hit Wichita Falls as a very inexperienced, I mean, right out of college, a guy named Mike Lawson, one of my mentors, dear friends, hired me, took a chance on me. A lot of people in that community thought, what are you doing hiring a 22, 23-year-old kid right out of school? He has no experience. I went down there and I did my best. And it was a tough time in the economy in the mid 80s in West Texas. And I got frustrated and I was discouraged. And I left that business. I left economic development after about 5 years. And I went back and worked in the family business for a while because that was my birthright, I felt. And I grew up in it. I started working for my dad when I was old enough to push a broom. But I knew after about a year that I'd made a mistake, that that was not my passion. It was not my calling. And so I just kind of muddled around the private sector for about 4 years. And then I had a chance to go back, to get back in the economic development business. And if there's one thing that I'm just so proud of me, is that I took a chance on myself. I showed leadership to me. And when a lot of people, my family, my in-laws, some of my friends saying, you're crazy to leave something that you know. I've had two kids, two babies, and I took everything on that chance. And I got back in the economic development business and I moved to Salt Lake. No connection to Salt Lake, but for the guy who hired me originally in Texas because he believed in me again. And I can't tell you how fortunate I am to have had people who have believed in me. Mentors like Mike Lawson, like Bob Marcus, and others. But I went out and I worked in Utah for about 4 years and I had a tremendous amount of success. And that vaulted me onto my path to where I am now. But had I not had that belief in me, again, as I mentioned at the top of this podcast, believing in yourself, showing leadership to yourself. I mean, I'd be doing something else completely different. I just have a job. And now I have a calling. And I believe that I'm maximizing what I was intended to do in my career while I'm here.
It's amazing the great stories of success that happen when you double down on your strengths and your passions and you follow those types of, you know, attributes in your life. So, you know, real quick, you mentioned that you love cities. If Kansas City didn't exist, and I know you're committed to the future success of Kansas City, what's another city that interests you?
Oh my God, I can, there's no way.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot, so.
Then you're going to blackmail me later. I love KC, but I will tell you this, that everywhere that I've worked, I'm from Oklahoma. I went to school at University of Oklahoma. They say there that, you know, you're sooner born, sooner bred. When you die, you're sooner dead. That applies to me. But, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Wichita Falls, even though I learned a lot there. You learn most through adversity. And Wichita Falls, great people, but that experience taught me how to deal with adversity. Utah, I love Salt Lake. And I look back at Utah and I go, without them giving me a chance, I wouldn't be where I am today. But we have so much work to do in Kansas City. This market, this region, this brand is rising. I'm so excited. People here are excited about it. We're really going to explode upon the U.S. psyche. And we're going to become one of these, you know, you hear about superstar cities and these coastal cities. I mean, where it's at is in the middle. And we're going to make such a compelling case over the next 3-4 years. And we're really excited about it because Kansas City offers so many things. And a lot of places, particularly on the coast, they've lost. A lot of places we believe are being confronted with a livability crisis. We believe Kansas City offers a tremendous option and solution for that.
Well, Tim, we thank you for taking the time to share your journey with the listening audience today. We appreciate your leadership in the industry, and we wish you the best of luck in Kansas City. So have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Next week, we'll be hearing from Beth Gowdy, who is the executive director at Roanoke Regional Partnership. And we are really excited to talk to Beth. She actually started her career in advertising, but has now spent over 25 years in economic development. So we know that we're going to learn a lot from Beth about growing and building investment in the Roanoke region in Virginia. So please tune in next Wednesday to hear all about Beth's journey.